We've been going through the book of James in this series called Life According to Jim. It's been a great study in the sense that it's been a very one. It was one of the reasons why we chose the book of James to go through, because we want to make sure as we're talking about wisdom that it's not just about filling our heads with knowledge and information, but it's actually a very practical way in which we're living out the gospel and living out the truth of God's word day in and day out. But before we dive into the message, you know, we interrupt this sermon for just a quick announcement, and it's not actually this announcement that's on the thing. Nothing's been taken hostage over there by Sunday school boys. But I do want to just say a quick word about as we launch into 2016 and consider the various opportunities that are available to us to serve and to minister and be a part of this community and to grow this community. We need some help and some volunteers. And so as you've been a part of the church, and if you know, you've been here maybe for a few months and are praying about a place where you might be able to plug in, there are lots of different opportunities that we're looking for some help in. So we need some help in our children's ministry. We need help in the nursery. We need folks who will be a helper in the classroom. She pretty much has all the teachers lined up for the classrooms, but an additional set of eyes and ears and hands in each classroom. Very, very beneficial. We also need some ushers. You know, we're doing two services now, and we've got a lot of different needs in our ushers and greeters. And so if you'd like to, you know, hand out bulletins and greet folks as they come in and collect up the offering, those types of things, kind of a once a month or so opportunity. These are all pretty much once a month opportunities. And then another one is our cleaning. And so we've only got about 4 to 5 people who are cleaning this building every week, week in and week out. And it's too much for that small number of people. And so it's very flexible. It's, you know, whenever you're available to help us out. And we've divided the building up into zones, into sections. And so if you'd be willing to come in for a couple of hours one time a month, I'm just gonna take care of the bathrooms this week of the month, or I'm gonna take care of the children's area this week of the month. You know, whatever it is, we've got a sign-up sheet back there on the welcome center, and so I'd encourage you before you leave today to just go on back there. Christy will be back there if you have any questions, and this is just for more information. Okay, you're not signing you're actually not signing up for something. But if you sign up in one of those areas, someone will be in contact with you. We really need to, as we look into 2016, we're so grateful for the way God's blessed our church these last several months, but we really need to bolster up our teams. And so if you've been praying, you've been kind of waiting for that opportunity, this is the opportunity. And so if one of those things don't fit and you've got, you know, some other desires, some other passions, some other gifts, there are more things that can be done around here, but those are three that are kind of toward the top of our list of things that we see as a real immediate need that we have to have. So if you'd like to help with that, please stop by the Welcome Center before you leave, and again, we can answer any questions that you might have, but we'll be in contact with more info about that. All right? Thank you so much, and a big thank you to everybody who's a part already and volunteering and helping make things run around here. It's a real blessing, so we appreciate you all so very much. All right, James chapter 3. We're going to continue on here, diving back in to our study of the book of James, true wisdom. Now, you know, as we talk about this subject of wisdom, and we're not going to spend a lot of time rehearsing last Sunday, because this is part two, as you can see, of this message. We're just being real careful and real clear in our understanding that we're not talking about knowledge, we're talking about wisdom. You know, knowledge is about information and the accumulation of facts, and it's not like we're anti-knowledge around here. We're not anti-information. We're not anti-intellectual around here, okay? But having said that, we can get ourselves into a vein, we can get ourselves into a mode where it's just all about information. It's all about just what we know, and that can puff us up with pride, and what we find ourselves is not putting into practice those things that we've been learning. I had a friend of mine that was in the service last Sunday just visiting, and Caleb and I actually ran into him while we were having lunch this week, and he goes, "Hey, I've got a story for you, because, you know, when you were talking about this, this is what I thought of as it relates to knowledge and wisdom." He says, "Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, and wisdom is not putting a tomato in the fruit salad. That's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Don't do that. That would be just awkward and weird." So I said, boom, there it is, opening illustration right there, wisdom and knowledge. Why is it so important to have wisdom, and why is it so important specifically to have the right kind of wisdom? The right kind of wisdom is because of this verse that we looked at last week, Proverbs 14:12. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." We can convince ourselves, we can manipulate ourselves into thinking that a course of action is the right course of action, and it's not the right course of action. So it's very, very important that as we're examining life, as we're examining choices, as we're examining decisions that we have to make, as we're examining the relationships that we're a part of, that the wisdom that we're seeking is true, godly, biblical wisdom, and not a wisdom that comes from our own understanding, because we can be fooled. You can be fooled. Your heart can be fooled. So to have the right kind of wisdom is so very powerful. So let's take a look at this text again. We're in verses 13 to 18, James chapter 3, and let's dive in and see what it says. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But, verse 17, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let's go and pray together. Father God, thank you so much for the time we have together this morning. I pray that you'd open our hearts, open our minds, open our understanding to what you'd have for us today. Bless each and every person here today, Lord. You know exactly where everyone is as they've walked through these doors. I pray that you would just speak to our hearts, and Lord, may we leave this place today with a better understanding of how you might have us live and a better understanding of who you are, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. True wisdom comes as we rely upon the Lord and his word, not our own selfish thoughts and desires. True wisdom. And what you see here happening in the book of James, in James chapter 3, is you've got this contrast, wisdom from below, wisdom from above. And so last week we talked a lot about having the right filter, the right filter. And so here are two filters, all right? So here's the one that just came out of my unit this morning. And this is the one that just came out of the cellophane, all right, this morning as well. So having the right kind of filter. Now, I didn't realize, as I shared last week, you know, I don't know a lot about this kind of thing, and I didn't know that there were a whole bunch of different sizes of filters. I thought it would be really cool. I was going to put a filter under everybody's chair, and I was going to be like Oprah. You get a filter! You get a filter! You get a filter! You get a filter! And it couldn't happen because you all have different size filters. But I thought that would be cool. But I did have several people tell me, you know, as they left this morning, like, Pastor Greg, like, I changed my filter, you know, when I got home, you know, last week after church. I said, we're nothing if not practical around here, and we want to make sure that we're really making a difference in your life. But the point is what? The point is what? Okay? It matters what kind of filter we have. Okay? If we're filtering life through a dirty filter, through the things of this world, it's going to have an effect. And if we filter life through a good filter, a pure filter, wisdom from above, it's going to have an impact. You know, what kind of filter are we going to have? Okay, so last week we focused on some of the negative. This week we're going to turn the corner. But I don't want to miss, for those who might have not been here with us last week, just a quick look back at what we talked about, the wisdom of the world, this wisdom from below, its origin, its characteristics, earthly, of the world. Sometimes we filter life and decisions and choices. Well, what's everyone else doing? What's everybody else doing? What are the people around me doing? What's the culture doing? What's the prevailing winds? You know, how are those things going? Okay, well, I guess that must be the direction I need to go. Not always, all right? We've got to be careful about that, following that earthly wisdom. The Bible talks about unspiritual wisdom, okay, natural. We talked about last week sensual in the sense of our senses. If we can, you know, hear it and see it and feel it and touch it and smell it, you know, if it makes sense to us, if it makes us feel good, then that must be the right filter by which I make my decisions about life and relationships and choices. Okay, that is not always, and in fact, rarely is it that way. If it feels good, do it. We've got to be careful about that, using the wrong filter about those decisions. And then the Bible talks about the earthly, the unspiritual, and even the demonic. I mean, there's a satanic agenda that is at work in your life and in my life. And he wants to defeat us. He wants to bring us down. And so if we're using, if we're going through life and making choices and decisions unaware that that's happening, we can oftentimes get ourselves into trouble, okay? So it's very important that we're not using those things as the filter for how we're engaging in life, because the results of those are contention, confusion, and corruption. Contention, confusion, and corruption. The wisdom of the world. So now number two, okay, let's turn the page. The wisdom from the Word, or the wisdom from above. And you've got an outline in your bulletin if you follow along with us today. Let's take a look at, first off, some characteristics. He says in verse 17, but the wisdom from above. Okay, so we're rounding the corner. Okay, we're not talking about the wisdom from below. Now we're talking about the wisdom from above. What characterizes this kind of wisdom, this kind of filter that we should have in life? Well, the Bible says it's first pure. It's first pure. Now, it's pure because its origin is pure. It comes from God. It comes from His Word. It comes from that place which is pure. And so the result of that is it is a pure wisdom, undefiled, unblemished. I love the picture of snow. And, you know, we've got that saying, you know, it's pure as the wind-driven snow. And snow is a very beautiful thing when it first comes down and you're looking at it from a safe place. Snow is very wonderful. I was talking to the Faith Christian kids a couple of months ago in one of their chapel services, and I was like, how many of you are looking for it? How many of you are going to the snow during Christmas break? And how many of you enjoy the snow? And I was like, you know, I don't really enjoy the snow, because the reality is those of us that live here in the valley, snow for you is a hobby. It's a hobby. When you grow up in Chicago, snow is life. And snow is not always, you know, nice and white and fluffy and pretty. It turns gray and brown and sludge, and it's not cool, you know, by, you know, end of March and early April and mid-April. And it's like, when is it ever going to leave? I was reminded of that this week because I was up in Reno for a couple days, and I want to thank those who prayed for me. I went up to visit a pastor friend who was going through a difficult time and with our church planning director, and we had a good couple of days, so thank you so much. I asked for prayer for that last week. I know several of you were praying, and God answered those prayers, so thank you. But I decided to come home a day early because I wanted to miss, there was a bad storm coming through. You probably saw that on the news and saw that there was, you know, lots of activity that was going to be happening that day. And I was supposed to stay up there until Wednesday. And I thought, you know, I'm going to leave. I'm going to try to beat it. I'm going to try to get out of here. I left Reno, and Reno was great. Like, there were no problems in Reno except the fact that it was kind of gray and brown. Like, Reno looks really awesome at night, but, like, during the day, it's kind of a different place. But there was no snow, and it was very dry. It was cold, but it was very dry. And I was like, I'm going. I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna go. And I wasn't in the car 20 minutes. It was 20 minutes down the road, Interstate 80, and all of a sudden, you know, and I'm like, oh man, here I go. And then it was beautiful. It was beautiful on the trees. It was beautiful on the side of the road. It was not beautiful necessarily on the road. And it certainly wasn't beautiful when I got up to the stop sign that said chain controls. And I had to get chains. Now, I'm from Yuba City, so I don't have chains. You know, I don't have chains. So I there was a gracious entrepreneur, for lack of a better term. And so, yeah, sure, I got $100 for chains to put them on, because you guys heard my story last week. If I don't know much about this, I don't got a chance with these. Not a chance. I don't have a, you know. So he was kind enough to put them on, and I got to about Auburn, and it only took me about an hour to take them off because I didn't know what I was doing. But I made it. I'm here. I survived. I persevered. Yes, amen. Thank you. Woo! So anyway, it looks really pretty. There's a beauty. There's a beauty of that snow. When it first comes down, and this wisdom from above, it's pure, it's undefiled, it's unblemished, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's not messy, it's not ugly. It's the wisdom that leads to a purity of life, which is a contrast with the world, which leads us to sin. The Bible talked about that, of all these things, of jealousy and selfish ambition, disorder, and every vile practice. Wisdom from below leads to those negative, nasty, ugly places. Wisdom from above leads to a place of purity, and joy. It's a wonderful thing. So wisdom from above. Number one, it is pure. Number two, it is peaceable. It is peaceable. Again, there's lots of contrast here with the contention, the selfish ambition, the strife that's talked about earlier, a peace that is based upon purity. What keeps us together? What brings unity? It's not about competition. It's not about trying to be better than other people, being better than the people around us. We've got to guard against that, church. I appreciated Caleb's honesty and his transparency this morning, because we all can be that way. I'm so much better than so-and-so. I have more knowledge than so-and-so. I've got more gifts than so-and-so. Okay, that's not about being peaceable. And God, that's not demonstrating wisdom from above. It's pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle, number three. It's gentle. Refers elsewhere in the scripture to God's character as gentle and kind. And while he has the right, as a holy, righteous God, to be harsh and stern with our sin, he extends love and grace. And you love that song that Sarah sang here at the end. How can it be? How can it be? God extends that grace. He extends that love. He extends that mercy. And wisdom from above exemplifies this character in us, not demanding that our rights be satisfied. There's a gentleness related to the wisdom that God gives us. Warren Wiersbe put it this way, and Warren Wiersbe is a great Bible teacher, great author. If you get opportunities, if you see stuff by him, two thumbs way up, okay? Warren Wiersbe. Here's a quote from him. The gentle person does not deliberately cause fights, but neither does he compromise truth to keep peace. It's a great quote, all right? Doesn't deliberately cause fights, but neither does he compromise truth to keep peace. Now, that's the distinguished Warren Wiersbe analysis of this text, all right? And this is why I'm never going to be probably a noted author and speaker. Here's the PG version right here, okay? Wisdom from above does not produce bullies. Wisdom from above, that doesn't sound quite as good as Warren Wiersbe, but that's how I say it. It doesn't produce bullies. We can become bullies with our knowledge. We can become bullies with the truth. Nobody cares how right you think you are if you can't be gentle about it. Nobody cares. It's not about that. It's about how are we presenting ourselves. Wisdom from above presents itself as gentle. Gentle. Not causing a fight. Not trying to start a fight. Not trying to stir up conflict. Not trying to stir up strife. Stand for the truth. Don't compromise. But be gentle. It can happen. It is pure, it is peaceable, it is gentle. Number four, it is open to reason. Open to reason, it says next. Other translations use the same word and call it compliant or submissive. We got that down cold, don't we? Yeah, we're all about compliance and submission, right? That comes really naturally to us, right? No, on the contrary, we struggle sometimes. We buckle against authority sometimes when it comes to these things. Wisdom from below says, okay, wisdom from below says, who are you? Who are you to tell me that? Who are you to speak into my life? Who are you to share that truth? Who do you think you are? Open to reason means a teachable spirit, a teachable heart, one that is willing to receive, one that is willing to listen, one that is willing to grow. If you turn just back a page to James 1, verse number 19, we looked at this earlier, obviously, in the series. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to anger. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. When God's wisdom is at work, there is a willingness to listen, to think, to pray, to obey whatever God reveals. We need to quit being so stubborn. Some of us are giving Archie Bunker a run for his money. Knock it off. Now, half of you don't even know who that is. And so I live with that reality, okay? But Archie Bunker was like incredibly stubborn, okay? Not a role model. For today, okay? But wisdom from above, it's open to reason, okay? It's teachable. It's a spirit. There's a humility. There's a grace. There's an understanding that I want my life to be spoken into, okay? The next one, pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy. Full of mercy. Full in the Bible always typically means being controlled by. Okay, being controlled by something. So you've got this text in Galatians where the Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And you've got this analogy happening in Scripture because we're all familiar with either by personal experience or by relationship what it means to be under the influence. When we're under the influence of alcohol, we do things, we say things, we go places, we compute differently than when we're not. We're under the control of that substance. Being full of the Spirit, it's that same analogy. It's an equals kind of analogy that's being made. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't be controlled by that. Be controlled by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And so here you've got that. Be full of mercy. Be controlled by mercy. Luke 6:36 says, be merciful as your Father is merciful. When you have this wisdom, you are being controlled by mercy. You're being controlled by mercy. That becomes your filter. So when you see someone on the side of the road with a sign and you say, they're just lazy. They got what they deserved. You reap what you sow. Sorry, buddy. That's this filter. That's this filter. Okay? That's when you offer a prayer, when you offer a smile, when you offer a wave, whatever it is. What controls our attitudes about people? Is it mercy? Is mercy where we go? That's where wisdom from above will take you. It will take you to a place where you understand that I need to be controlled. I need to be full of mercy. What a challenge for us, wisdom from above. Next, full of good fruits. So full of mercy and also full of good fruits. Again, being controlled by, being governed by. Whenever I think of fruit in the Bible, I always think of two different texts. The one is in Matthew chapter 7 where the Bible talks about by your fruit you shall know them. Okay, so fruit in someone's life reveals something about that person's life. And then in Galatians 5, 22 to 23, probably the more apropos one as it relates to the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. What does the Bible talk about? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the things that are going to be evident in a life that is being governed by wisdom from above, not wisdom from below. These are going to be, what kind of fruit is in your life? What kind of fruit is growing in your life, in your heart, in your soul? Do you see these things being made manifest? If you have wisdom from above, you will. If you have wisdom from below, you're going to see these not show up. It's very important. Full of good fruits. The next one, impartial. Impartial. So not showing favoritism, not getting yourself in a position where you're categorizing by groups, categorizing by cliques, categorizing by categories, okay? And what I'd like to do is just turn back a page to James chapter 2, because we spent an entire message on this subject about showing favoritism, showing partiality, and so I just want to go back and read those 13 verses in James chapter 2, because I just believe it speaks so powerfully to the issue of what it means to be impartial and the dangers of showing partiality. Verse number 1, chapter 2, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, I have not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts. Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, favoritism, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty, for judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Wisdom from above will be impartial. Wisdom from above will not categorize people. Wisdom from below seeks to do that. And we need to be on guard against that, make sure we have the right filter. And lastly, it says to be sincere, pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, genuine, being without hypocrisy. The Greek word for hypocrite means one who wears a mask, one who wears a mask. It's not the real you. So here's my prop. I've got lots of props today. I got this from someone for Christmas. They saw it at a yard sale, and it still works, which is really cool. And they said, you know, Pastor Greg, you're like the easiest person I've ever shopped for in my life. I just know exactly what always to get you, okay? So if you, I was egged on in first service, so I will just do it here in second service. You know, the only pastor in Yuba City who wore a stormtrooper helmet in his message. Don't be wearing masks. Don't be wearing helmets. Don't be wearing things that veil you from who you really are. You know, friends, life is messy. Life is messy. Relationships are messy. Church can be messy. That's okay, because that's who we are. That's who we are. And wisdom from above drives us to a place that says, you know, I'm just going to be sincere. I'm going to be who I am. I'm not going to apologize for who I am. I'm just going to be who I am by the grace of God. Wisdom from below produces insincerity and pretense. Wisdom from above produces openness, honesty, transparency, and authenticity. And that's what we want. That's what I want. That's what I want for this church. Open, honest, transparent, authentic. Say, Pastor Greg, but if we go down that road, it's going to get a little bit messy. Absolutely. I mean, I'm going to start preaching here in just a minute. I'll guard myself. You know, the early church was a mess. Early church, craziness in the early church, the things that they were dealing with and struggling with, and the relational issues and the people issues and the leadership issues. Crazy, messy. That's what life is. Wisdom from above will foster an environment of sincerity, which will allow us to be that without the judgment and all the other things we talked about earlier. Gentleness, you know, peaceableness, purity, things of that nature. So it's sincere. Wisdom from above, pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. What does that result in? Just lastly, closing. I love this idea, this harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This harvest of righteousness, this idea that, you know, something when you invest in this kind of wisdom, when you dedicate yourself and commit yourself to having the right filter, it is going to have a result. Something is going to come from that. There is going to be a harvest of righteousness. And we see it here as it relates to sowing in peace by those who make peace. There's an action and there's an attitude. There's an action and there's an attitude related to having the right perspective on life and the right perspective on these things. Struggling with attitude or struggling with action. Say, Pastor Greg, my attitude is just not where it needs to be. Well, you may need to examine if you're employing wisdom from below or wisdom from above. I'm just not living the way that I know I'm supposed to be living. My actions just, I am not where I'm supposed to be. Let me suggest to you that you need to examine, are you employing wisdom from below or wisdom from above? Because whichever route you choose to go, there will be a harvest. There will be a harvest to that. Let it be a harvest of righteousness. What filter are you using? The one from below, the one from above. True wisdom comes as we rely upon the Lord and His Word, not our own selfish thoughts and desires. Anybody ever been to Rockefeller Center in New York City? Anybody ever been? Beautiful. Love it down there. When we lived in New York for a short time, we went down, and we'd been there previously too, but that was the one time we went at Christmas time, and so we got to see the tree and the ice skating rink, and it's amazing. It's a beautiful place down there, and we love the city. And at the Rockefeller Center in New York City, there are four large murals. There are four large murals. And it's interesting because of the four murals, there are three that totally look like they belong there, and then there's one that doesn't. It's almost like, what doesn't belong in this problem? Here's an apple, here's an orange, here's a banana, and then here's a car. Okay, which one doesn't fit? Okay, obviously the car doesn't fit. So here are the four murals that you'll find in Rockefeller Center. The first one is a painting of a man having become a primitive man laboring with his hands. Okay, laboring with his hands. The second one is a painting of a man having become the creator of tools and machinery. So it goes from hands to tools and machinery. And then the third painting shows this man to be both a master and a servant to the machine he created. So there's kind of this progression that's happening. And then the fourth mural, the final mural, there's a picture of it there, seems completely out of place. It's a picture of Jesus at the Sermon on the Mount with people struggling to reach him. And underneath that fourth mural, the mural of Christ, are inscribed these words: "Man's ultimate destiny depends on not whether he can learn new lessons or make new discoveries or conquests, but on his acceptance of the lesson that was taught him over 2,000 years ago." That'll preach, right? Right in Rockefeller Center. Working with my hands, I'm working with tools, I'm a master of this, and they're sometimes a master of me. But here's the last one. You know what it's all about? It's just getting back to what Jesus said way back in the beginning. We're not about reinventing the wheel. We're not about making stuff up. We're not about formulating a system that just makes us feel better about ourselves physically, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually. It's about getting back to the book. It's about following Jesus. It's about saying, Lord, there is a wisdom from above that I need to tap into. I need to tap in. I need the characteristics of that wisdom. That's what I need in my life. Because I find myself tapping into this pit down here, and it is messing with me. And it is messing with my family. It is messing with my relationship with my spouse. It is messing with my whatever. May God give us wisdom from above. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time this morning, and thank you for your word. Thank you so much for this book and for just its blessing, its instruction. I pray, Lord, that as we leave this place today, Lord, just continue to help us choose the right filter to use day in and day out. Lord, this year is going to be a year full of choices and decisions and perspectives and relationships. And Father, may we choose today to have the right kind of filter, not wisdom from below that's destructive, but wisdom from above that is for our good and for your glory. Thank you so much for giving us these tools. I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you'd bless us, encourage and strengthen each one here today. And Father, if you have challenged anyone here today, I pray that they would walk out these doors determined, committed to you, and following after wisdom from above. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Hey, thank you so much for being here today. What a blessing to see you all.